From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen spent a third consecutive day in hearings on Thursday, this time in a closed-door session with the House Intelligence Committee. Cohen's Wednesday hearing at the House Oversight Committee was public and widely televised. During his riveting 30-minute opening remarks, Cohen accused the president of being a racist, a con man, and a cheat. Many Democrats that questioned him afterwards honed in on several of the points he raised about Trump's business practices, the hush money payments that Trump made while in office, his charitable organization, his taxes, and more. But Republicans focused entirely on whether Cohen was to be trusted since he had been convicted of lying to Congress. How did the right-wing media cover the Cohen testimony? And what, if anything, will come out of these historic hearings? We turn to Katie Sullivan. She is the Deputy Director for Rapid Response at Media Matters for America. Welcome, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
So we had, of course, wall-to-wall coverage of the Cohen hearings on Wednesday. But since your organization monitors the right-wing media, can you begin by giving us a sense of how the right-wing media covered the Cohen hearings? How did Fox News in particular cover the Cohen hearings?
Sure. So a lot of the coverage mainly was just them attacking his credibility. And, you know, nobody thinks that Michael Cohen doesn't have a credibility problem, but he did address it and he did come with documentation of the things that he was saying to the best of his ability. And, you know, more specifically, they are very selective about what they want to attack him on, right? And so, you know, they'll say he's a liar, you know, blah, 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 blah. But they'll only talk about some of the allegations that he talked about and not the ones that are most damaging for Trump, right?
So it seems, of course, like the most damaging allegation that came out very early in the hearing when Cohen actually presented his opening statements was the check written by Trump to reimburse Michael Cohen while he was president, a $35,000 check, a check that was submitted into evidence, and one of many, many checks, other checks we found out were signed by Trump's sons. Initially, we had been told that that was just part of a retainer, and then we found out those are just reimbursements for the hush money payments. So this is the big bombshell that dropped during the hearing. I mean, we'd known a day or two before the hearing that it would be dropped, and it seems as though Republicans just didn't want to touch that one.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about that at all. You know, it's funny. They'll say, you know, he's a liar. He can't be trusted.
And right, then they literally had a giant sign, liar, liar, pants on fire, which just seems so juvenile.
Right. But, you know, they'll say he's a liar. He can't be trusted. And then in the very next sentence, they'll say, but, you know, the one thing he told the truth on was that there was no collusion. And so they're very, you know, they're cherry picking what they're talking about. They're not talking about the check. They're talking about how, you know, he said that he didn't know of any direct evidence of collusion. And, you know, they're also saying, like, this was only a distraction from the North Korea summit. This was his crimes weren't really crimes. This actually helps Trump, doesn't hurt him. You know, they tried to tie it to the Clintons repeatedly. Because, you know, that's always a go-to nice handy attack.
Right. But, there was much made of Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, who is a longtime Clinton lawyer, and several Republicans tried to make the connection that this was all orchestrated by the Clintons because Lanny Davis asked for the hearing, orchestrated it, made Elijah Cummings, the committee chair, hold the hearings as if Mr. Cummings doesn't have his own agency.
Right, exactly. And I think really what all of this gets to right now is that they want this to be a media circus rather than a discussion of the actual merits or the substance about this. Because if it's a media circus, they can say, you know, it doesn't matter. This is all just baked in. The media just hate Trump. And if they have to talk about the substance, they have to talk about the fact that the president got accused of a lot of crimes. Yeah. And they don't want to talk about that.
So the other major line of questioning seemed to be that the Republicans kept pushing Cohen to admit he wasn't going to get a book deal out of the whole story, that if he did get a book deal, he would donate all the proceeds to charity, or that he would get a movie deal. This, I mean, there must have been some sort of set of talking points distributed ahead of time, because there were about three or four things that they kept hammering on, and one of them was some sort of fame that Michael Cohen was going to get out of this whole thing that he was desperate for.
Yes. Yeah, which, you know, first of all, everybody writes books. So, you know, sure, that's just how things work. But also, it doesn't deal with the actual substance. They don't want to talk about that. They just don't want to have a good faith conversation about it. And you know what? Michael Cohen is going to jail, right? Like, he's already pretty notorious. He's not looking for fame right now.
Right.
You know, if
The
anything,
implication was that he did this hearing, or pushed for this year, volunteered to testify at this hearing so that he could get a book deal out of it. The other thing was he was just bitter he didn't get a job at the White House. What did you make of this?
I just think it's irrelevant. That's what they want to make it about. You know, they don't want to talk about, like I said, the substance. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think that it truly matters whether or not Michael Cohen wanted a White House job. The fact is that things played out the way they did. And, you know, the president of the United States committed crimes, allegedly, not just before he was the president, but while he was a sitting president. You know, it's a sideshow whether or not Michael Cohen wanted a White House job. But, you know, I mean, they said that, you know, it's up for debate, but it wasn't even the only bit of, you know, potentially not true talking points that the Republicans on the committee kept referring to. There was a Washington Post fact check of the false comments made during that hearing, and almost all, if not all of them, were comments from Republican committee members. It wasn't a fact check of Republican committee members. It was a fact check of the hearing. And the only statements that it even included were Republican committee members.
Wow.
You know, they tried to say that he, Michael Cohen, did a violation of the Foreign Agent Registration Act because he, you know, didn't tell them that he, you know, lobbied for foreign entities. He's not required to disclose foreign entities. He's only required to discuss business he has with foreign governments. And, you know, they said that. They tried to attack him on that. They said that they were going to make a criminal referral on that. And it's completely ridiculous, but it's been on Fox News all day.
Right. In fact, our Republican lawmakers, we now are hearing, have asked the Justice Department to investigate Cohen for perjury. They seem so uninterested in Trump's lies or in Trump's crimes, potential crimes. The other aspect of it is that this particular hearing also ended up showcasing Trump's racism, which also I understand Fox News wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. And the Republicans tried to do some damage control by trotting out a black woman named Lynn Patton when Cohen accused Trump of being a virulent racist. This didn't go down very well among some of the women of color in the on the Democratic side, did it?
It did not. They called him out for it, and, you know, respect to them, it was absolutely a ridiculous stunt. It was a racist stunt. And what you have heard on Fox all day is them actually saying it was, you know, racist for them to call Mark Meadows a racist. Well, he has kind of a history of racism. He said that Obama should go back to Kenya and stay there. So, like, you know, it's a racist who's defending another racist by using a black woman as a prop,
Right.
which is a bad, bad look. It's, you know, it's only something that happens. You know, you mentioned that it was the women of color on this committee that called him out for it. that's maybe what happens when your party doesn't have that many women of color.
Right. Good point. It was first Representative Brenda Lawrence who raised the issue, then Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, and then finally Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, who perhaps had the strongest statements, which caused such defensiveness from Mark Meadows that he, you know, sort of started getting very flabbergasted. It was interesting if you think about it. Essentially, this whole trope of I'm not a racist because some of my best friends are black kept playing out, so Trump's not a racist because his best friend is a black woman named Lynn Patton. When he was called out for being racist for doing that, Mark Meadows literally responded with the exact same thing. Some of my nieces and nephews are people of color.
I mean, it is almost stereotypical of, you know, them to be doing this, but it's also just, you would think that we would all be past this now in 2019. And when you realize that we're not, you kind of laugh and cry at the same time.
I was crafting, yes.
Yes, yes. I like that, crafting.
So you had another powerful member of Congress, and it was, a lot of the powerful moments came near the end of the hearing when you had the very bold, younger, more newly elected members of Congress who were on the committee do a lot of the questioning. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's questioning was really interesting, right? She seemed to focus in on the Trump golf course near her district, or in her district, I believe it is, and the tax subsidies that he received, now how he's essentially pocketed all the profits. And many have suggested that she laid the groundwork for subpoenaing Trump's tax returns. This was quite brilliant. Again, the Republicans nor Fox News seem to have touched that at all.
Not really. So there was a little bit of a mention of it earlier, and it was from Fox analyst, legal analyst Andrew Napolitano, who was a judge at one point, who said that the only reason that Democrats could possibly want Trump's tax returns would be to humiliate him and to torment him. Only possible reason would be to torment the Trump for not releasing his tax returns. That's really the only mention of it I've seen. And, you know, it wasn't just the tax returns that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez really laid the groundwork for, and others did as well. It was also laying the groundwork to call in members of Trump's inner circle, the, you know, Alan Weisselberg, other members of the Trump Organization, Trump's children. And this is also only what we saw from the one day of public testimony. There are two other days of testimony that we don't see, and we don't know what else they're laying the groundwork for. So this does not bode well for the president or anybody in his orbit.
Right. So Tuesday was the closed door testimony with the Senate Intelligence Committee. Thursday, the closed door testimony with the House Intelligence Committee. The only public testimony was the House Oversight Committee hearing on Wednesday. And I'm so glad you brought up the other people in the Trump orbit, because Alan Weisselberg, the CFO of the Trump Organization's name, came up repeatedly. And of course, the Trump children. And so many people have been asking about this, right, who watched the Cohen hearings, ask, so what's going to come out of this in the end? Will this actually lead to anything? Of course, with the Democrats controlling the House, it at the House level can lead to something. Are we going to see subpoenas? Are we going to see charges being brought against, or at least subpoenas and calls for testimony from people like Alan Weisselberg coming out of this?
We'll definitely see testimony, and the more public testimony, the better, because this really is one of those things, you know. Most Americans at this point know that there's something fishy going on with the president and his orbit. But, you know, the public needs to be convinced. And so the more public testimony, the better. And, you know, what I really think that we all need to do and, you know, hold our leaders accountable to do, hold the media accountable for, is this narrative that, well, the things that Trump come out about Trump, they don't matter. It's all baked in. Everybody all knows this all about him anyway. You know, this doesn't even matter. And that's the thing that we need to push back on, because it does matter. I mean, these are, you know, some of the things that came up was, you know, conspiracy against the United States, lying to Congress, lying to the special counsel, you know, lying on his tax returns, misusing funds for a charitable organization. These matter. You know, and if we just say, well, it's baked in, what are you going to do? Then the public sentiment, you know, that is not really the narrative that we would be hearing for anybody else. And it's not something that we should just accept.
Right.
And that's all public, you know, sentiment and, you know, feeling, though. That's not what's happening in the legal system. You know, we can say all we want, you know, what's actually going to happen. The Southern District of New York knows what's going to happen. They are, you know, I think Cohen referenced an investigation into Trump that we didn't even know about. And that was, you know, in addition to the ones that we already did, which is how many, 3 or 4?
So we have a situation now where there's all of these things swirling around. I'm glad you brought up the Trump Organization one, because that was another thing that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez brought up or picked up on what Cohen was discussing with the purchase of a painting and the misuse of this nonprofit status of his of the charitable foundation. Do you think that if all of this is out in the open now, the big thing on people's minds is, will this push Democrats to pursue impeachment more greatly?
I think it might. I think that there will definitely be a growing call for impeachment. Whether or not it actually happens, I think, remains to be seen. But I think that the calls for it will push, because we are just going to find out about more and more behavior that is simply unacceptable from anybody, but especially the most powerful man in the world.
What do you make of Trump's responses? While Cohen was speaking at the hearing on Wednesday, Trump was not even in the country. He was in Vietnam at the North Korea talks, which ultimately failed. But at a press conference, when reporters had the chance to start questioning the president, one of the first questions came from a reporter about the Cohen hearings, and Trump basically ignored that, and then it looks like they sort of shut down the press access.
Yeah, I mean, he took questions from a lot of, he took questions from Hannity, but he also took questions from Chinese state media, Russian state media, and he took questions from other legitimate outlets. But I think that was the only Cohen question he got, or maybe the only Cohen question he allowed himself to get. He doesn't really want to talk about it. The only thing that he wants to talk about is how, you know, there's this giant witch hunt against him and everything is a hoax. And, you know, Michael Cohen is a liar. But he doesn't connect the dots to all the other people who have surrounded him, who have been indicted, who are going to jail. You know, it's not like Michael Cohen is an isolated incident here.
Right. And that was another thing that came up at the hearing, when the Republicans on Wednesday kept attempting to showcase Cohen as a liar. And then at one point, I can't remember which GOP congressman it was who brought up all of the people that have been indicted or left in disgrace or been fired. To me, that was an implication on the president, not on all of those people, or not certainly not on the Democrats or Cohen. If there is a president whose administration is so racked with such instability, that says something about the president, right?
It sure does. And, you know, this is pure speculation. I cannot say what that congressman actually, you know, knows or believes in his heart, but what we are seeing in this country is two different versions of reality kind of setting in. And one, I would argue, is based on facts, and the other is a creation of right-wing media. And if you exist only in that bubble, and that's the only information that you get, then a lot of what you heard was actually coded language, you know? They have these narratives and these talking points, and they repeat them over and over and over on Fox and in other places. And, you know, you start to hear all these people, and the connection in your brain is, oh, that's the person who screwed over Trump. When, no, it was the guy that Trump put in a position, even though he knew that it was, you know, bad news.
Interestingly enough, Katie, near the very end of the hearing, GOP members of Congress on the committee asked Elijah Cummings to put a number of news reports into the congressional record. My producer pointed out to me today that the majority of those were among outlets that the GOP and Trump have slammed as fake news, you know, Huffington Post and Mother Jones and the Washington Post, but and Salon. But when it seems to benefit their story or or be consistent with their story. They want it in the congressional record.
Yeah. And, you know, let's not forget, Trump straight up directly told an interviewer one time that the reason he attacks the media is so that when they report bad things about him, that people won't believe them. He actually said that. So, you know, a lot of this, you know, he attacks these people, he attacks these media outlets who are, you know, trying to do their job, whether or not they do a great job all the time. I would argue that mainstream media has a Trump obsession problem and likes to make a skeptical of things, a spectacle of things. But, you know, for the most part, they are, you know, reporters and journalists who are trying to do a good faith, good job. And the reason he attacks them is because he doesn't like how they make him look. And, you know, he's trying to discredit people who are reporting the truth.
One story that seemed to just kind of be swept under the rug, and I'm not sure if it came up during the hearings. I tried to watch as much of the hearings on Wednesday as possible. But on the eve of the hearings, you had a Republican congressman issue a blackmail-style threat in public on Twitter against Michael Cohen, Matt Gaetz, who literally said, you know, watch out, your father, he talked about his father-in-law, his wife, implied that Cohen was having affairs. It was horrifying, and no one seems to have done much about it. It made a few headlines on Tuesday, and then it just kind of disappeared. I keep telling myself, what if this was a Democrat? What if the president in question was Obama?
If this was a Democrat, Fox News would be howling. It would be wall-to-wall coverage. We wouldn't hear anything else. It would be coming up for years and years and years. But, you know, the reality is a lot of people are desensitized to that kind of language because Trump does it. You know, Trump tried to witness tamper with Michael Cohen. And so this is what happens when he kind of degrades our entire national discourse.
Katie, give out the website for Media Matters where people can find out more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can find us at mediamatters.org, and you can also follow us on Twitter at MMFA.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Katie Sullivan is the Deputy Director for Rapid Response at Media Matters. We've been discussing the impact of the Cohen hearings and its coverage in the right-wing media. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.